All right, it is the second No Rules podcast, and I got to tell you, the feedback to the first No Rules podcast, unbelievable. Did you read it? I read it. I mean, I read every one of them. I mean, it was amazing, Peter. I mean, it's just they were just blown away by all of it.
I bet. Well, I bet we're up for some kind of award already.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Podcast of the Week award.
Well, you didn't exactly, though, trumpet it in the sense that it was either about us being angry and old and, you know, yelling at one another.
Yeah, but, you know, that's why we called it No Rules. Well, and that's why we called it No Rules, because basically it's about, you know, no tangents, no reintroductions, no names. We just, you know, nobody's to protect the innocent, right?
Absolutely.
So here's where we're going to start this week. It is the Christmas season, which means only one thing in the world. I hate to say passion because that's not fair to the other things you do, but this is on some completely different level. Everybody wants to know why the World Junior Championships is so important to Peter Labardius.
Why?
Yes.
I don't know how many people really want to know, but
millions and millions.
In all sincerity, it stems back to three things. I grew up in Saskatoon as a lover of junior hockey and started watching it at a very young age, like literally going to games at 3 and 4 years of age. So it was an early love affair. Then, in all sincerity, I remember vividly watching the first World Junior Hockey Championship, which had 3 or 4 games on TV in Wayne Gretzky's time.
Now, were those live?
1977, 78.
Were those live, Peter? Were those taped?
No, they were live.
They were. I thought they were recorded for some reason.
No, they were live. And so that was really my first true introduction to the event, which was disappointing because our country finished fourth.
Mm-hmm.
And probably in some ways, Rob, what kind of, you know, started the building blocks, because I, you know, my first, you know, true love of international hockey, being the age that I am, came in 72, and that's when it all really started. And then, you know, we didn't see a whole lot after that. There was a 76 Canada Cup, and I just, you know, I fell in love with international hockey. And then this was really the first time that we had a chance to see on TV, because Canada joined the fray in 1974, I believe, and sent club teams. And then this was the first time that Canada put together an all-star team. And they went to Montreal, and it was a lot of fun to watch. Canada didn't end up winning or even winning a medal, but, you know, Wayne Gretzky's 6-point performance against, at that point in time in the history of the world, Czechoslovakia, is just one of those days that you'll never forget. And that was a really good team. Brad McCrimmon, bless his soul, and, you know, Punch Imlach was the coach who had helped New Westminster to 4 straight Western Hockey League titles, and there was a huge Western Hockey League influence. So that's kind of where it all began. And then it really jumped off the map for me on what I believe was a Saturday afternoon in what still would have been 1981. And the tournament returned. Canada put together its first program of excellence, and they competed in the tournament in 1982 as a true national team for the second time, but really the first time of what became the program of excellence. And the game that probably turned me completely towards the event was Canada's 7-0 victory in Winnipeg over the Russians. And the Russians had won, I think, 3 or 4 straight times, and, you know, we were still right in the mix, obviously, at that point in our country, the whole Canada-Russia rivalry at its absolute height at that point in time. It wasn't very far after the United States had won, you know, in Lake Placid. And then I was kind of, you know, I didn't take too well to that in many ways because I was happy about the result, but thought our guys had knocked off the United States going into the Olympics like 8 out of 10 times, and now it felt like the United States was going to own the hockey world after that. So, yeah, that's the long story. And again, that was right at the height too, Rob, where I think I missed 6 Saskatoon home Blade games in about 5 years. And that 1982 team, you know, for Canada,
right,
was loaded.
Right.
Loaded with Western Hockey League guys, too. So, it, you know, and Sherry Basson's another guy who I've grown to love and get to know over the years. And again, vivid memories of shots in hit of him in the dressing room going stall to stall to get guys fired up. So, yeah, it's a true passion and a love affair, that's for sure.
Well, it's evolved, though. I mean, have you followed along lockstep with its evolution? It's, you know, it's, we can talk about it. It's no rules. I mean, the other guys,
well,
TSN,
and
have done
it. And I think you were defending yourself on the radio this week.
I was.
And I'm not quite exactly sure where you stand on the whole event.
Well, I don't have the vivid, detailed memories of it that you do. I kind of pick it up when it really became a television property, where, you know, the punch up in Piastani, that's probably where I become more acutely aware of it, because my formative years was spent in the WHA. You know, and then in the NHL, but both, you know, my first live, you know, real live hockey of any note was professional hockey in the WHA. So I came to the World Juniors later than you did. And I'm more of a product of the television. That's where I was going was, you know, that I'm curious about where you fit in all of this. I mean, sometimes things get ruined or sometimes things get overexposed, and I mean, I don't think there's a better example in what we do, the world we live in, of creating something and turning it into something like TSN has done with this tournament. Have you been in lockstep with all of it as it's evolved?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And yet, I, I'm not torn very often. And I heard the conversation on the radio station earlier this week. And, you know, maybe it's because I go back with it so far that it doesn't feel that way necessarily to me, because, you know, I'd fallen in love with it a long time before, you know, TSN got a hold of it really in 1991 and caught lightning in a bottle. That was the first year, not that it was on television, but that every single Team Canada game was on television, because, you know, in the early years after 1982, we started to see some of it. We saw quite a bit of it in that 78 event. And then CBC would generally show two or three games, you know, pretty much every year after that, regardless, you know, including, you know, a great Wendell Clark goal against Czechoslovakia that helped us win a gold medal in Finland and overseas for the first time in 1985. So for me, it's not quite as TV driven, and yet I understand. I mean, they have done a marvelous job with it. And I think it's continued to grow, Rob, and listen, needless to say, I'm on the bandwagon, but even me as a Canadian who loves it more than you could know, and you know me, we've known one another for a long time, it's just not this event. I mean, that's where my passion, you know, really comes out. I mean, for whatever reason, when our country plays in any sport, it's not really hard to find me involved.
Right.
And, you know, this is kind of just combining all my loves together, but no, they've done a great job with it and, you know, deserve a ton of credit. And yet I understand the other side of the coin, because I've been a big part of that too. I mean, you know, I've been frustrated for years as someone who's broadcast a lot of junior hockey in his life, where it's like, you know, 10 minutes after that tournament, you know, do people really care anymore?
It never
seems to have the kind of carryover that I know I've always liked to have seen, and it's never kind of helped major junior hockey or junior hockey, if you will, in the sense that, you know, I've always kind of hoped that it would kind of have an NCAA basketball or college feel in Canada, but it hasn't been that way.
Why? I mean, that's the part I've never understood.
Why?
Yeah.
Well, Here's how I feel about it, and I think the evolution of that is different now, Rob. The kids of today and the generation of today, I'll be frank, they don't get it, and they don't really want to get it. I believe we live in a time of stars and money and fame. So in so many ways, unless it is the National Hockey League, I think it's really hard to generate a lot of interest from that new core.
The way you're describing it is you're putting it on this generation, but we've also talked about something that we're now talking about four different decades, Pete. what I don't understand is, you know, why didn't it before? Why didn't it in the 80s? Why didn't it in the 90s? It's not just this generation.
No.
It's never caught on, right?
I guess that's true. But again, I mean, the world's changed in the sense that I think it's way easier to study it, to track it. There's been way more of it, you know, to watch on television nationally than there ever used to be. Remember, you know, let's not kid anybody. I mean, it was a long time, and if I thought, and it wouldn't take me that long, there used to be one junior hockey game on TV a year.
Yep.
One.
Yep.
And that was the final of the Memorial Cup. That was it. You know, there was, I think, in other places, but not where I grew up. I know in Ontario, I think Global ran a game of the week. Well, I know they did for a long time because I was even part of it back in the early 2000s for one season.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't even know if we could track it properly. And yet in some ways, Rob, if you take a look at the Canadian Hockey League, for example, I mean, it's not like attendance keeps dwindling every year.
No, but it seems to me the one is so much bigger than the other.
Oh, it's not even close.
Yeah.
But it's timing too. I mean, it falls together perfectly because A, it's become a tradition,
mm-hmm.
and people love that part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the other part of it, and I've never seen anything like it until 2010 hit, and that was Vancouver.
Right.
I think Canadians are far more patriotic where sports are concerned now than they ever have been. And I think that's part of why this thing has kind of grown to where it's come to. And
yeah.
I mean, if you're asking, you know, why doesn't the other aspect of it catch up? Because Rob, this, the World Junior isn't just about hockey. It's an event.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
It's an event.
Yeah.
It's not just about hockey, and it's Canada.
But, you know, you raised that as soon as you said 2010. Here's something that struck me. This conversation we're having about this tournament and why doesn't it, you know, translate into more eyeballs for regular season games or playoff games is the exact same conversation that the people in luge have coming out of an Olympics, or the people in bobsleigh coming out of the Olympics, or people involved with women's hockey coming out of the Olympics. You know, there's always this perceived, well, if we have success and we'll have those eyeballs, we'll get a bump. And maybe you do, but I don't think it's what we all thought it was going to be 10 or 15 years ago. You know what I mean? If you can get a couple more kids interested, maybe that's the best you can hope for. But
okay,
some sort of...
Let me ask you.
Yes.
Now, I want to turn it because it's always easy and I'm too close to it and have been wrapped up in it my whole life, literally. Why do you think it doesn't have the carryover?
I think it's exactly what you said. I think people are invested in the event. You know, to a lesser extent, I think in the World Juniors in particular, and I've said this over and over again, is that I think the way it's positioned now, it's like, come watch the future of the Toronto Maple Leafs or come watch the next Washington Capitol. Hey, look at that NHL general manager. I think they connect it to the National Hockey League. I think it has that connection. So the 800-pound gorilla in our country is kind of, you know, tied into this rather than, you know, Peter, I'm not so sure that it would be as popular if we spent all the time telling everybody where these kids currently play and where they played their bantam and where they played their midget. You know what I'm saying?
No, I do.
I think it's to what you say.
Again, that kind of, and you're right. I mean, it is, you know, I guess it goes back, you know, 20 years, really, if you think about when it has become, you know, very much exposed to everyone starting in 1991, as far as that's probably really the only time for all kinds of reasons we could ever, you know, go back and track and see if there's been a bump. And,
right.
And there's been bumps. I know that for an absolute fact because I was involved in it for a long time. But you're right. It's never had huge carryover. And yet I think the issue is now, and I feel that way, in the last, I would even say, Rob, 6 or 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this new generation gets turned on by anything outside of where all the fame, fortune, and attention.
Oh, I
they don't want the process.
No, we're
they want they want the stardom. They don't want you know, and
we're a celebrity
like the old guy going off on the group.
No, but we're a celebrity driven society.
We, I mean, right? Somebody argue that we're not.
Right. So, you know, this year, I mean, look, I got to be honest with you. And I guess I'm a hypocrite because this one's just a little bit more interesting to me because Connor McDavid's in it and he's considered a generational player. I don't know that it makes me watch a minute more, but I was going to watch all of it anyway. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But I think I absolutely think that's right, Pete. And you know what? I think the reality that, you know, when the Olympics are over, when this tournament's over, it's not so bad in Major Junior. Let's be perfectly honest. We're talking about crowds of 1,000. But I'm just thinking back to that whole conversation about the Olympics and their bump. I mean, you go to some Olympic events, you know, World Cup skeleton or something like that. It's not packed. Right?
No. Nope.
And it's not sexy to be there. You really kind of have to be a diehard.
But our country's different, too, because we're not a big sporting country.
What do you mean?
We're not a big sporting country.
Well, we're not a big country, or we're not into sports?
I don't know if I can honestly say that I think a lot of people in our country are really into sports.
That's an okay.
I really don't.
Explore that one for me, because I'd love to know how you define that.
About all the times that I travel and go places on airplanes, you know, when I get out of my, you know, regular group of people that I hang with, which is, you know,
yep.
thanks to my new lovely lady friend, you know, like, there's not necessarily, although her internal family is very sports oriented, her
right.
brother and her dad, but,
right.
you know, outside of that, it's more of an academic. And anyway, just forget about that part of it. I don't find myself in very many public situations where people, you know, and again, this is not about me, but I have been around for more than 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, on a number of different forums across the country.
Right.
And I just, it's not about knowing who I am. It's just, I don't find myself when I meet new people or strike up a conversation on an airplane, it has nothing to do with it. It's me,
mm-hmm.
or it could be you or anybody. I just, you know, I would say probably 7 out of every 10 people I meet at least don't know anything about sports.
Don't know anything about sports or don't know what you know about sports? Because there's
I
a difference, right? Yeah, okay,
like
okay. But you know what it's like. I mean, I think there's an element of the old, you know, whatever that Bruce Springsteen song was, 50 channels and nothing on. I think so much is available now that, you know, for me, what I'm impacted by is how many people, you know, now get to pick and choose. You get to pick and choose. When you and I grew up,
true.
3 channels, Hockey Night in Canada, you were either a Maple Leaf fan or a Canadian fan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now, how many Bayern Munich jerseys do you see floating around town? You know, when the World Cup's on, how many experts in that do we have? You know, there's...
Well, I saw a story on the news this morning, a matter of fact.
Yes.
That a Google story, and I believe the research was from our country, I think.
Mm-hmm.
My eyes weren't completely open.
Right.
But the World Cup, in terms of, like, Google interest,
mm-hmm.
was ahead of the Olympics.
Yes. Biggest event in the world.
But I'm not even... But the thing is, okay, I get that worldwide.
Right.
But I'm not so sure that wasn't, like, Canadian,
well,
you know,
and then,
information.
And that's what I'm saying, Pete. I think gone are the days of being limited to... Look, Tom Rennie takes over as the president and CEO of Hockey Canada. One of the first things I ask him is, do you have to sell the game to Canadians? Do you have to recruit?
And I bet he said, yeah.
Absolutely you do. Absolutely you do, right? You know, you got success on the luge track this past week for Canada. They win for the first time ever a World Cup event, and they're going to recruit athletes. They're having an open house. Pete, I don't necessarily agree that, you know, people aren't into sports the way. I just think it's so, for the lack of a better term, diluted. And I don't mean that because that's got a negative connotation. I just think there's just so many things that you can have. I mean, you look at the NBA now and the proliferation of Canadian players in that. Why? Because of a team in Toronto. Let's be perfectly honest,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
So, you know, basketball, soccer, hockey, all of these things. I don't know if we're less sports inclined. I just think there's more of it.
Yeah, that's probably fair, even though, you know, every time, you know, I'll make my way to the United States. And here's
mm-hmm.
a perfect example. On a recent Flames road trip, I attended the state championship football game for the state of Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
There was like 17 or 18,000 people there.
Right.
I don't care where you play a high school football game in Canada. you might play every city's high school championship game in our country and come up with 18,000 people.
Ah, here's the interesting point then. Us versus them because of the numbers of support. Look, my flip to you would be, you know, outside of the, well, maybe I can't flip it around on you. You know, I was going to say, wow, it's the old major junior versus, you know, what do they draw for non-NCAA hockey? Well, the USHL draws well. I mean, that's always been the one thing that's angered Canadians or angered diehard Canadian sports fans like yourself, is that perception that they just, you know, rally around the team, rally around the school, rally, I mean, at school athletics, we can't even have that conversation.
No.
Right?
No,
we just can't even have it. It's interesting because I don't look at us as being less sporting involved, but when you look at it from,
it's different. It's different. And you're right. I'm not saying that their way is necessarily like a better way.
Right.
But I do think you can make an argument in some respects. Now, granted, they have way more people. I just think it's, and you may disagree, and that's fine. And it's hard for me as a Canadian to be kind of on the other side of this argument. I don't think people wear it here the way they do there. I don't think it's the same kind of, it's not the same type of, what am I trying
they're
to
not
say?
We're not diehards.
The way it is there.
Yeah. I hear you. No, I agree. But
And here, I just want to make this statement.
Yeah.
This might be another podcast, like, completely. Because you're right. You said no.
We go on
and
tangents. Yeah.
But what bothers me as a lover of my country and a lover of, you know, by and large, my favorite things are Canadian team sports.
Mm.
And I know I'm, you know, I have a reputation as a hockey guy, but it bothers me, Rob, that we're not better at more things.
But I think that's where we're headed, Lou.
Do you?
Yes.
Maybe I don't.
Okay,
I don't. We haven't qualified for the Olympics in men's basketball since 2000.
But
you don't want to get me going on soccer.
But hold on, slow down here, because by 2020, we could be only the second nation in the world that can put together an entire Olympic roster in basketball with NBA players. There's only one other country that can do that, and that's the United States. In 5 or 6 years, we might be the only... we're a lot closer than everybody else.
Well, are we?
Yes.
We haven't done anything.
Well, you got to start somewhere, Lou.
We've been starting for a long time.
We've been playing from behind because we've been playing one sport, and I love that sport, and that's the only sport I want to play, but I get it. We're playing from behind. We have been for many years. We're just starting to catch up. Look at Jeannie Bouchard and Milos Raonic.
Yeah, I agree.
Right?
Yeah. No, I mean, there's. I mean,
we're breaking through, man.
Well, in some respects, we're breaking through. How about men's soccer in our country?
Okay, but why?
Like, what's the issue there?
It's politics. You've got too many chefs in the kitchen. You got too many people saying, "Oh, we got to do it this way. We got to do it that way." My home country did it this way.
That's the problem. We have more people that care about their old country than the new country.
Okay. So what are we going to do? Sit there and be grumpy about it? We've got to start including them. We've got to start bringing them to the table.
I'm all fine for that. That's part of the reason that bothers me.
What?
I wouldn't be on the face of the earth without one.
Right.
So, but let's use them.
Okay.
To get better.
Yes, but
why soccer can really bug me.
Oh, it bugs me. It bugs me too.
We have more people from outside of the country almost than anywhere else.
What do you do? I say it every time. Every time I watch the World Cup, I'm sad.
Yeah, you
because
know
why I want to be there.
Same reason I'm sad. I've seen our country in men's World Cup action
once
in '86,
yes.
And I don't think I'll see it again.
Yes, you will.
Before I leave the earth.
Yes, you will.
Oof. I'd take that bet.
Okay,
right,
it's a bet. It's a done deal. And you know what? I'm not saying it's right around the corner.
I hope you're right.
Well, I'm not saying it's right around the corner, but there will come at some point we will evolve. Look at the women's game, okay? And this is that male-female thing. Before we start throwing the baby out with the bathwater, let's take a look at what we've done on the women's side.
We've done a great job.
Right.
And I'm as big a supporter of that.
I know. There's two people on this phone call. Only one has gone to an international softball competition to cheer on his country. You guess who it was.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
Right. No, look, Lou, I get it. I understand. But I'm trying to give you examples of we are expanding from a winter weather country where we're really good at the Winter Olympics, right? And now we have tennis players. Not just one, Not just two. There's some other ones
Absolutely.
Coming. Pospisil's coming.
I was lucky enough to go to the U.S. Open this summer. Absolutely.
Rub it in my nose. But, yeah, okay. I understand that.
Some good events.
No, I understand that. But my point being, you know, you look at basketball. Basketball, it's not overnight because, boy, you think about, you know, the guys that Kenny Shields and those guys that came before. But now, because we have an NBA team, because we have kids who've grown up with the NBA, now we've got first overall picks. I said it to you before. You're going to have the possibility of having an entire roster at the Olympics made up of NBA players. Only one other country can do that.
If they decide they want to play for it.
Well, give them a break.
Well, I'm not going to give them a break until I see it get fixed. And that's my issue with that sport, too.
You got to start somewhere, Lou.
Yeah, I know. Hey, we started a long time ago. We messed it up.
Okay.
We messed it up.
So what do? Close our eyes?
You stay with it. You get back at it.
Yes.
You hope it corrects itself.
That's right.
The overall riding theme for me about Canadian sports
right.
is this.
Yes.
And then I don't know whether there's blame or why it is. The reason I think we are not better, in all sincerity, and maybe you're right, maybe we are getting better, but I need to see it. Mm-hmm. And until it gets over the hump, I'm not buying. And that is this. I don't think there's enough accountability in our country for anything outside of one sport.
But I'll tell you the other thing.
And don't tell me that it's because we only have 30 million people.
No.
I know a lot of countries that are better at more team sports than Canada is
Okay.
30 million or less.
Okay, but you tell me the country that has 30 or 40 million people that's this big and has success. And that, my friend,
okay,
is the one,
a good one.
Because you know, you've got pockets of players, right? I mean, no better example than lacrosse. How, you know, we're really good at lacrosse, and I guess, you know, it's a bad example, but I mean, you've got this great pocket in BC, and you got this great pocket in Ontario, right? Mm-hmm. And then you've got these other places trying to fill in, right? So if you have a great soccer player in Vancouver, or a great soccer team in Vancouver, and a great soccer team in Hamilton, we need to find a way, and it's cost prohibitive, but we need to find, now it's at hot housing. Do we become a country that hothouses? Do we say, okay, at 14, we're going to take all the best soccer players and move them to Hamilton? Maybe that's what we got to be doing with some of these sports.
Maybe you just finally, once and for all, answered a lot of the questions I've been asking.
What?
Well, maybe it is more geography-centric than I've ever really thought.
I think it is because, again, population plays a role in it, and we've got a big population, and everybody's playing something. But when you do that, again, when you dilute the sports, and that's a good thing, not a bad thing, but when we're not playing just hockey, when we're playing other sports, again, where do baseball players predominantly come from this country?
Yeah, places in Ontario.
Where it's warm, right?
Yeah.
Things like that. You know, how do we avoid... You know, I'm a big believer in the good ones always get found, but how do we avoid that one kid in Saskatchewan who's a hell of a pitcher, but there's no competition for him? You know, what do we do? How do we make sure he gets taken care of?
That's you know, I mean, there's no question. That's an issue.
Yes.
But again, you know, sometimes, and I don't know how you fix this, because it's good, because you can probably wrap this conversation in a bit of a bow this way in terms of why things don't translate, right? That's what we were talking about from the World Junior, you know, to junior hockey when it's not people playing in the World Junior. Well, you know, our industry in its sense, and you can't blame them, they're in business, they spend money. So here's an example for me, okay? Canada, a couple of years ago, in 2011, wins the Pan American gold medal in baseball.
Right.
Who knew?
Yep.
Who saw it?
Nobody.
I'll tell you who saw it. Nobody.
Yeah, I know.
Because when I don't know about it for a couple weeks after it happens...
Then it never happened.
Well, no, it had obviously happened, but I was almost embarrassed. But the point is you beat Cuba and the United States. Like, that is a significant moment in baseball in this country's history, and nobody knows. And yet, and you know, because I mean the World Junior in a lot of ways is some proof of it. Certainly don't tell me that this isn't the case, because I watched it and we saw what happened. You think women's soccer is where it's at without what happened in 2001 in Edmonton? Not a chance.
Well, I think we agreed the World Junior's worth watching. Lou, happy holidays.